It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the music and podcast streaming platform Spotify released the popular Spotify Wrapped promotion earlier this month, but there's controversy behind the annual feature, including concerns over low payouts to musicians. A Wisconsin digital media expert joins the show for a closer look. First, Keely Boltina joins us in the studio because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. WPR is listener-supported. You make Wisconsin Public Radio programs possible as we head into 2024 when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, Keely.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me. Our goal during this hour is 15 gifts. This goal is important. We set this goal to make sure that we have the funding that's needed for the news and the talk and the music that you rely on.
We'll meet that goal one donation at a time. Let's start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A question you can think about is, what does public radio mean? And it may mean a lot of different things depending on which shows you enjoy listening to, but also at the end of the day, public radio means listener-supported radio.
While we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, listener support is the largest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. That means that your gift of any amount really does matter at WPR.org or make a quick call, 888-202-2552.
From statewide talk shows and news to music and entertainment, WPR is your source for pretty much everything Wisconsin. This member drive, you can let WPR connect you with even more of what Wisconsin has to offer. That's because you can ask for a 2024 State Park admission sticker when you give $25 a month or more. So you're giving and supporting all of the great things you hear on the air, and you have access to the incredible state park system that Wisconsin has. That adventure begins with your gift right now at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552.
Start a year-end tradition and make a gift to the station you've enjoyed in 2023 that you'll rely on in 2024. Your donation to WPR is tax-deductible, helps keep this great resource available to everyone. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Rob, I was just talking to somebody in the hallway about how this time of year, I've said no to so many things, and yet I still feel so busy.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this time of year. People don't have a lot of time, like, Rob, Keely, you may catch me next year.
Right.
When all the hullabaloo has passed.
I love the concept, though, of like starting a tradition of something that's meaningful, something you can, you know, say like, yes, this took a couple of minutes out of my day and look what I've done for it, instead of all of just the frenzy that I'm feeling right now.
Well, and there's, you said the key words there, just a couple of minutes. It takes just a few minutes. We need your name, your contact info, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. It's quick. It's easy to do. Then you can get back to all that other stuff. Your gift right now really does help. Take that next couple few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 15 gifts during this hour. We set up this goal to make sure that we have the funding for the high-quality programs that keep you informed and inspired, yes, as we close the year, but also all year round. So now is the time. Don't wait. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, in just a couple minutes, we're going to talk about this Spotify Wrapped, where if you listen on Spotify, it tracks all the stuff you listen to and gives you this year-end review. We don't do that. We don't know if you have your radio on or not, and that's okay. But do your own little WPR Wrapped. How much did you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio this year? Maybe this show every day, or you're in and out all day on the weekdays, or the weekend programming you tune in a couple times. If you start adding it up, it's a pretty good value.
And listen, if you can't add it up because too many times you have said, hey, I heard this thing on WPR, and you start making a list and you just get so overwhelmed.
Checking it twice.
Oh, you went there. Yes, you did. It tells you, though, that kind of volume tells you how much you rely on WPR as an incredible resource. So think about that. Think about what we're talking to you about right now. It's a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from a bank account or a credit card. Get started now. Do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And grab that second great Wisconsin resource when you give $25 a month. Ask for your Wisconsin State Park sticker. Lets you park freely once you have the sticker. And check out this amazing variety of ecosystems around the state in our state park system. Two great things when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. For some music lovers, it is the most wonderful time of the year, time to open up their Spotify Wrapped. Spotify Wrapped is a personalized data compilation released each December that shares year-end stats from Spotify about their users' top musicians, songs, albums, and genres. This year, though, the promotion is drawing some criticism from fans and musicians because of Spotify's low royalty rates to artists. Here's Weird Al Yankovic with a thank you video to his fans after he looked at his own Spotify stats.
Hey, how you doing? Al here. Look, I'll make this really quick. I just want to thank you all for your amazing support. It's my understanding that I had over 80 million streams on Spotify this year. So if I'm doing the math right, that means I earned $12. So, you know, enough to get myself a nice sandwich at a restaurant. So from the bottom of my heart, thanks for your support and thanks for the sandwich.
Now, Weird Al, as I understand it, is exaggerating the math there for satirical points to make a point about the low per-stream payouts. Spotify has also been under public scrutiny after announcing a new royalty model that will limit payouts for smaller artists on the platform and for a big round of layoffs the company announced last week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you listen to Spotify? Do you look forward to this Spotify Wrapped every year, or do you think it's overhyped? Have criticisms about Spotify's low royalty pay to musicians made you rethink your subscription? How do you support your favorite musical artists in the age of streaming? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jeremy Morris is a professor of media and cultural studies in the Department of Communication Arts at UW-Madison, where his research focuses on digital music and media. Jeremy, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
How has Spotify Wrapped gotten to be such a big deal? I don't share this info, but a lot of people are out there saying, hey, here's what turned up, and here's who I'm the super fan for.
Yeah, right. No, it's a massive campaign for them, and it's something that is really driven by the users. They're really excited to share that. I mean, I think people like talking mm-hmm. about their musical tastes. People like seeing what happened in their year and sort of hearing that played back to them. So being able to share that is this really kind of exciting moment for a lot of people, I think, at this time of the year.
And it may surprise some people to see who they listen to the most over the course of a year.
Yeah, well, and definitely because we don't fully know how Spotify is tracking all this stuff. I mean, it is, you know, we know we're listening to it all the time, but we're not always sure what's happening. And then they always invent these new tools, right, to tell you about what you've done. And so they tell you the percentage now of, you know, what percentage of fan you're in terms of who you're listening to. Also now telling you what city you listen to, or what city's tastes your tastes most mm-hmm. resemble, you know. So there's these surprising things that come up. Spotify parses all this data in ways that present it to consumers in a kind of unique way, but also kind of weird in the sense that they're just showing you how much they know about you.
Right. And that has some people feeling a little uncomfortable. Before we get to our musicians getting paid for this, the idea that, wow, you're collecting a lot of data about me and you clearly have the ability to compile it. And what else are you doing with that?
Right. Yeah, no. And it's all, you know, sort of played back in this very friendly, you know, graphic that you want to share with others. It's a really, from a corporate standpoint, it's a really interesting way to think about, like, here's all the stuff we have on you and we're going to present it back to you in a way that you're actually going to really enjoy, even though, you know, it is quite invasive. If you think of your own music taste as something personal, intimate, you know, that feels really personal, right? So.
But that said, Spotify isn't the only streaming service that's doing something. I listen to a lot of music on YouTube. YouTube knows what I listen to.
Right. And I would say Spotify's version of Wrapped has really pushed a lot of companies to try that. So Apple has its own Replay or Recap. I forget which one. YouTube has one. Even I think Duolingo now tells mm-hmm. people like what they've been doing, right? So a lot of people have been jumping on that kind of Wrapped idea to sort of sum it up. It's certainly not a new thing. Year-end lists. I think what's new is just the amount of data that Spotify is kind of feeding back to you.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Steven is with us in Madison. Steven, hi.
Hi.
Hi. What did you want to bring up, Steven?
Well, the main thing I wanted to point out is that, you know, streaming services are, it's really not just Spotify, but have a tendency not to pay out a ton of money, but we know that Spotify is routinely not profitable. They've had a couple quarters where they've had been in the black, but mostly it's been money losing to one degree or another. So you kind of have to ask, is this kind of business model actually it's always going to be a loss leader, or is it something that can be turned into at least a modest profit on a regular basis?
Stephen, thanks a lot for the call. Stephen brings up a big point. Spotify put a lot of money into podcasting and then laid off a bunch of their podcasting division. They do have to pay, the distributors, the record labels for, do they call them record labels anymore?
Yep,
the
yep.
music labels when they play these streams. Is there money to be made, enough money to then pay the artists well?
Well, it's hard with the current model that they have. It's not as if every time a listener hits play, then that stream, results in some payment to the artist, right? It goes to this thing called the stream share, where the artist's the number of time a particular artist is played in a market is then divided by the total plays, right? So it gets divided out proportionally, and then when you factor in how much of that, yes, goes to the labels, goes to the other people that are interested in those rights, it often means a very small sum of money, even if you have a large amount of plays. So while Weird Al's math wasn't exactly right, he is pointing to the fact that people are getting, fractions of a penny on a stream. So if that, right, depending on again, what's happening in that market.
Thanks for that call, Stephen. And yeah, not everybody is a Taylor Swift or even a Weird Al. A lot of concern for musicians who are, at getting smaller levels of streaming, and a big change coming to how Spotify measures that for a variety of reasons. Your thoughts on those smaller artists who aren't household words?
Right. So in that model that I just described, it's really hard if you're somebody who gets 1,000, 2,000 plays, right? I mean, that's just not enough to be making any kind of sustainable living on it, right? So oftentimes Spotify is just one tiny piece of a much larger strategy where artists are having to tour, merchandise, all these other things, right? And the amount of labor that goes into that, it's just not the same economics as it was in the CD era, even though the economics of that were also poor towards artists, right? So what we're seeing is new technology, same kind of story.
Jeremy Morris is with us, professor of media and cultural studies at UW-Madison. His research focuses on digital music and media. We're talking about Spotify Wrapped. It's drawing some negative publicity for the company this year, along with a lot of fun shares of what we've been listening to. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you use Spotify for music or podcasts or fill in the blank? Are you happy to see your year-end reviews if you are a musician? Do you make money by streaming online? Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. UW-Madison Media Studies professor Jeremy Morris stays with us for a look at Spotify Wrapped and debates around music streaming, who benefits, who doesn't. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences as a listener or a musician or your questions. That's 800-642-1234. Rachel is with us now in Eau Claire. Rachel, hi.
Hello. I wanted to speak to the cultural impact of Spotify Wrapped as a young educator. I'm in the demographic that does heavily look at Spotify Wrapped, but in the classroom, it's also a great tool, especially at the beginning of class, as a relatively risk-free way for students to maybe share a little bit more about themselves. And students that maybe weren't as passionate about sharing in class opened up a little bit, and the cultural impacts of this have been really awesome and a way that you can touch on students' personal lives in the classroom.
Rachel, thanks a lot for that call. And that's super interesting to me, Jeremy, because I think about, okay, we're all off in our own little Spotify or whatever streaming worlds instead of listening to a radio together or a CD together. But a thing like Wrapped, and as Rachel talks about her students' experience, well, there's a way to come back in and have it be a social thing again.
For sure. Yeah, no. And, one of the best parts of my Wrapped this year was sitting down with my kids at the table. And just like we all went through it and talked about music for a good 45 minutes. Right. What did this get right? What's kind of weird about this? Right. So anything that's going to encourage people to get around and talk about music, I think, is a great thing. And Spotify has a lot of other social features like that. Right. The jam that allows you to sort of like add to somebody's playlist. There's all these ways in which they're trying to make music listening social in ways. And so I'm really glad that Rachel brought that up, because it is a fantastic way to at least start conversations about music, whether that's posting it on social media or, again, just in smaller groups with your friends and community.
Thanks a lot for that story, Rachel. Steve joins us now in Stoughton. Steve, hello.
Yeah, thank you. Along the lines of Rachel, I see platforms like Spotify allowing up-and-coming artists to get exposure, and one of those might be my daughter, Ellie Jackson, and her friend, Kaylee Conway, who live in Milwaukee, and they have songs on Spotify, and it's a great way to get them exposure.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call and the plug for the musicians in your life. But Jeremy, some musicians, I think, view streaming as a loss leader. Like, I'm not going to make money by streaming, but hey, I can send my streams to the venues and show them, hey, I've got 1,000 listens to this. That's pretty good. Sign me up to play there. I'll sell some stuff there.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a wonderful kind of discovery mechanism. Again, it's sometimes difficult to stand out on a big campaign like Spotify Wrapped, right, where they're really leaning towards the most popular artists. But there are ways in which individual artists or independent artists can break through in these. And so when that happens, it can be a really big thing. But, you know, it's like any platform, there's now a lot of musicians who can make content for those platforms. So how do you stand out, right? The trick, as it's always been in the music industry, is how does any one individual artist sort of stand out?
Thanks a lot for that call. Now, I want to talk about gaming the system a little, Jeremy. There are people who create 30-second noise tracks and then train bots to listen to them again and again, or build them as white noise to listen to while you sleep. It's a 30-second track on loop, so you get hundreds of plays through the night. And now here comes artificial intelligence doing the job for them to fill it with even more stuff and maybe crowd out those real musicians.
Yeah, there was a band actually that played with this a few years ago called Wolfpack, where they released a whole album called Asleepify, which was just all silent. And they they asked their listeners to listen to it on repeat while they were sleeping. They actually generated $20,000 worth of royalties before Spotify kind of put an end to it, right? Part of what Spotify is doing now with this new royalty model is trying to cut out some of that fraudulent activity, although I would argue Wolfpack was doing a kind of art project more so than they were doing a
John
fraudulent.
Cage was there years ago.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So, you know, but yes, you know, that and some of it's fraud and some of it's just people use Spotify for all these things. They use it to listen to rain, you know, so they can fall asleep. Are those tracks therefore not to be counted? I think that's a difficult question, but what it does do, if that streaming model, like I was talking about, it dilutes the royalty pool and it makes it difficult for artists to get paid when there's a lot of money going to some of these other tracks and artists that people might not consider as musical in the same way.
In our last minute or so, Jeremy, there's regardless of the technology, there's always the concern, are musicians going to be able to make enough money to keep making music and sustain this big part of our culture? Is that in doubt in the streaming world now?
I think, you know, in each of these models we've seen, the rights holders are the ones who tend to be able to manage the technology to a way that benefits them. And for a lot of artists, they haven't had the ability to maintain the rights to their own work. So hopefully, right, with these technologies, it is allowing more artists to make that decision that they can keep their own rights to their stuff so that if they are making profits from it, even if it's little, it's going more directly to them instead of a whole bunch of other people.
Jeremy, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Jeremy Morris, professor of media and cultural studies in the Department of Communication Arts at UW-Madison, where his research focuses on digital music and media. Been talking about concerns over Spotify's new royalty model and the future of streaming after the release of Spotify Wrapped earlier this month brought on some fun and some controversy. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Keely Boltina is in the studio with me. Your support is vital to all the news and talk and entertainment on WPR. It's the biggest source of funding. Take a few minutes right now to support the essential service that you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, this hour we have a goal of 15 gifts. We also want to say thank you so much if you've already given.
If you haven't, join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift makes the news, talk, and music you value possible.
What a fascinating last segment where we really got to dig past the like top list that everybody's sharing and really think about so many different aspects of these, you know, streaming services and how it works for artists and how it might make a difference to people. It went well beyond the note like, hey, I have kids. That's why my Spotify Wrapped list looks this way. I mean, this is something that this program does incredibly. And Rob, when I listen to you, you dig into topics that may seem like we could talk about them very quickly and we find all of the nuance and the depth. And that's just something other places, other operations and other teams, they don't do.
These are the kinds of conversations you can count on here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And WPR is listener supported. That means your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all these conversations possible each and every day. Choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And now that you've decided to make a gift to WPR, you're probably thinking, well, what's going to be the best way to get your gift to WPR? And the answer is to become a sustainer. You get to decide on a monthly amount. You can charge it to your bank account or your credit card, and you just set it up to be ongoing.
Why is that a good thing? Well, because that sustaining gift provides reliable funding for the programs you count on. You make that easy to budget monthly gift, then those donations add up to have a huge impact for WPR. A lot of people are doing it this way. Huge part of how we operate here now. Choose an amount, join that team with $5 or $10 or $20 a month and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's great because you know that your donation is always consistent and yet you retain control. You get to decide how much, you get to decide when, you get to decide if you need to lower that or if you can increase that. Whether you've never given to WPR before or you're a current member who's happy to make maybe that extra gift, we'd like to hear from you during this year-end member drive.
These member drives are a great time to raise the money that pays for the quality and variety you hear on WPR. That means when you step up and make your gift right now, it really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got Ruth in Manitowoc who says, I started listening back when my parents constantly had WPR on. Now I have become a sustainer for years and feel it is time to increase my pledge. Ruth, thank you so much for your support. Thanks for being dragged into the WPR family and for choosing us year after year.
Thanks so much for sharing that story, Ruth, and for getting it and for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. How about you make your very important contribution to keep these conversations on the air online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Could you get paid millions of dollars to leave your job? Sound a bit far-fetched? Not if you're a head coach in college football, at least at a certain level. We'll talk to a Wisconsin sports reporter about the upward trend in coach buyouts, as well as salaries, and who's paying for it all. First, Keely Boltina joins me now. It's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Your time to take action. Set up 2024 for success here at WPR with your gift right now. Maybe you've already given this year, or you make ongoing monthly gifts. Today, make special year-end gifts for the service you rely on all year long. It'll take just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, this hour, we are looking for 15 gifts. Thank you so much if you've already given to WPR. If you haven't yet, give now. Help ensure you and your community have access to all of WPR's essential services. Join in at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Have you ever heard something on WPR that you wanted to pass along to a friend? With program notes at WPR.org and our audio archives, you can pass things on. Maybe you already do.
Yeah, it's a great way to stay connected with others, passing on ideas and stories and information, starting conversations with, hey, I heard on WPR. We help you stay connected with your friends and family and with the rest of the world. Your donation keeps this connection going.
Make your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
At WPR, we have a core group of supporters who give month after month and year after year. They willingly contribute because they depend on this vital resource. You rely on WPR too, and maybe for whatever reason, there are many of them, maybe you haven't given yet.
Well, WPR relies on new donors, people like you, to grow and keep high-quality programs on the air. Today is your day. Show your support at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, any amount that's right for you, is all it takes.
WPR is a treasured resource in Wisconsin. It's your source for in-depth news, community conversations, and smart entertainment. This member drive, support the essential public service you and your neighbors rely on to get access to another treasured Wisconsin resource, the state park system. Ask for your 2024 admission sticker when you give $25 a month for the WPR programs you value. From the beaches of Lake Michigan to the hills of the Driftless area, you'll enjoy access to more than 60 parks, all while supporting your favorite public radio station. Give now and ask for your pass. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation during this year-end member drive. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Keely Boltina. WPR's essential service is available to you and to your community thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a difference for our entire community.
Mm-hmm. If you are already a sustaining member of WPR, thank you. You really provide the backbone of financial support for these incredible conversations. Your ongoing monthly contributions are that reliable stream of funding for the programs you enjoy.
As you reflect on the things that have added value to your life this year, take a chance to increase your monthly support by a few dollars a month. We're happy to help you do that. Just go online to WPR.org or make a call 888-202-2552.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, you can make that gift go farther by telling your friends and family.
Whether you do it on social media, give them an old-fashioned phone call or text, or just mention it when you see them next, let them know that you support news and talk and music on Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Then inspire the other WPR fans in your life to do the same thing.
Our goal is 15 gifts this hour. This goal is important. We set it up so that we can make sure we've got the momentum to fund the high-quality programs that keep you informed and inspired. So give now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
WPR connects you with statewide news, conversations, and entertainment. Well, the state park system connects you with Wisconsin's natural beauty. This member drive, you can support the WPR programs you value and get access to more than 60 Wisconsin state parks and recreation areas with the 2024 admission sticker. Ask for yours when you give $25 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jennifer in Oconomowoc says, I thoroughly enjoy the variety of topics and discussions that happen every day. I've learned so much about topics that I've never explored before. Everyone should listen to WPR.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Really do appreciate that. How about you join Jennifer and so many other people in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio? Make your very important gift right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. How does $75 million paid out between now and 2031 sound to you? Like winning a big lottery? Like a reward for a very lucrative job done very, very well? It's actually the buyout awarded to now former Texas A&M head football coach Jimbo Fisher. Fisher's golden dismissal is one of the latest in what's been an exponentially rising tide of head coach salaries, pressure to win lots of games, and buyouts when things don't work out so good. Wisconsin saw some of that firsthand this year when UW-Madison's athletic director Chris McIntosh announced the midseason firing of then-head Badgers football coach Paul Christ. We're going to talk about the money, where it's coming from, and where it's going with Jim Polzin. He covers Wisconsin sports at the Wisconsin State Journal. Jim, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, before we get to what people get paid for not coaching, let's talk about salaries for people who do stay in coaching at, you know, in the high-level programs. USA Today had a list of the highest-paid coaches in college football this last season. Alabama, Nick Saban, $11.4 million. UW's Luke Fickell down at number 13, about 7.6. Are we seeing an upward spiral in the top programs' head coach salaries?
Absolutely, because what happens is one coach will have success and negotiate a new deal, and the competing coach will go to his agent and say, hey, I want to be in that ballpark, if not more. So it's a little bit like player salaries in any of the professional sports. They just keep going up and up, in part because I don't think anybody's willing to say no.
They have that baseball stat, a win against replacement, meaning, hey, yeah, how well would somebody else do in this spot? Is there a sense that the head coach makes that much difference for a program in terms of, you know, recruiting to the X's and O's and more?
That's a great question. I mean, certainly if you get the right coach in there that wins a lot of games, the amount of money that rolls into the universities, whether donations, TV money, all that stuff, it goes up the more you win. So there certainly is value. I think we can sit here and have a legitimate argument about how much value, mm-hmm, and when what becomes too much in terms of money. But yes, I think, like I said before, once you get competing schools, and especially, you know, if you got a coach coaching somewhere and Team B comes in and wants to poach him from that school, that price is going to have to be pretty high.
Now, we could talk a little bit about where the money comes from. Athletic programs are careful to say in most cases, hey, no, your tuition money isn't going into this head coach salary. You mentioned, you know, foundations, donations. Where does this kind of head coach money actually come from?
Yeah, I mean, like, part of it is I can only speak really clearly about UW, mm-hmm, since, you know, that's the team I cover. And when Paul Chris got fired last year, Chris McIntosh, the AD, was very clear that said, this money is not coming from taxpayers. There's an annual fund through the UW Foundation that I think as of mid-2021 had like $143 million in it. And that's where the $11 million that they ended up negotiating with Paul Crist came from. I mean, that money, that account at the foundation includes scholarship money and funds available for the athletic department to use at its discretion. So that's where that's coming from. I would certainly venture to guess that at a place like Texas A&M, donors have a lot to do with, the decision to fire Jimbo Fisher. So if they're coming to the AD and say, hey, we want this guy out, the AD's question back to them would be, okay, I need some money. And that's, I'm guessing, where that $76+ million came from.
Talking to Jim Polzine, sports columnist for the Wisconsin State Journal, about the high cost of college football coaches and the high cost of firing them with big payoffs, in some cases big buyouts of contracts, including here at Wisconsin. Now, I want to give a listen to the press conference announcing Paul Chris' departure and replacement. Jesse Temple, reporter for The Athletic, asked UW Athletic Director Chris McIntosh about how much Chris was going to get paid to not coach.
It's been reported that Paul's buyout was somewhere between, I don't know, $16 or $19 million. Can you provide any clarity on where that's coming from, or was a decision made that kind of changes that number?
Yeah, Jesse, you know, we'll share more about the specifics of where we ended up with Paul at a future date soon. What I can tell you today is that the number that we agreed to is significantly less than the numbers that have been reported, or even the number that would have been due per the terms of his contract.
Now, even so, the number was, you know, in multiples of a million. Jim, how did that end up shaking out?
Yeah, so I think we never really found out what the number he should have been owed was, because there was a complicated formula, basically. It was somewhere between 19 to 20 million. But that included mitigating clauses that said Paul Chryst had to go search for a job, A, and B, if he found a job, he would have that money would come out of this buyout. And also that he wouldn't get this full 19 to 20 million until the end of his contract. The 5 years had run out. So Paul Chryst and his agent worked out a deal that said, all right, we're not going to, you know, we won't take the full 19 to 20 million. It ended up being 11 million. He does not have to look for a job And he, if he does find a job, that money's not coming out of the 11 million. And also this 11 million is going to be paid out within a couple of months. It ended up being, I think, 2 to 3 months. I think by last February, he had all $11 million. So there were obviously advantages for Paul Chris to you know, make some concessions, even though he was going to get less money in the long run. He was going to get it sooner and really not have any further money held out of that based on the job he found.
Now, here's where the economics might strike people weird, Jim. Okay, you get, or they want to change coaches. Sure. Yep. But why not let a coach run out their contract so that you're not, in effect, paying two guys millions of dollars, one to coach, one not to coach? What is it that makes a program say, yeah, we want to do this now, we're going to blow up the rest of the contract, we're going to keep paying this person to, I guess, watch the game on TV?
Yeah, that's a great question. And also we should point out that when they went and hired Luke Fickell had a buyout in his contract that Wisconsin ended up paying to Cincinnati, right? I mean, that's the other thing that, that works in these coaching changes, is that if you're going to go hire a new coach that's employed by another place, you're often buying out that contract. So that's an even another added figure. Again, I'll go back to what I said earlier, is that I think the thinking here is, if you sense your program going in the wrong direction and need to right that ship, it's hard to put a price tag on what that will cost you ultimately. And if you can get back to winning ways, winning brings in more ticket money, ticket revenue. It brings in more donations, like I said before. You know, it brings you a better bowl game in theory. So you're paying up front for what you hope is gaining revenue down the road. And it doesn't always work out. It does not always work out for some programs that make these changes. I would be curious to see what happens at Texas A&M. And if in 5 years they decide, was this $76 million worth it in the long run?
Can you talk about the pressure on a program and on that head coach to win games this year, given that you've got some powers that be at any given major program that is eager to win now and ready to give somebody the boot if they don't?
Yeah, that's always been the thing. I think most coaches kind of know going into it that it's a pressure cooker and that they're, you know, under a microscope. So it's not, none of this should be a surprise necessarily, but there's an intense pressure. And, you know, the more and more money that's thrown around, the more TV money that's generated, you know, now you have players that are gaining money from NIL and stuff. So there's just, it doesn't get any better. I mean, it's getting more and more of a pressure cooker. And that's difficult. And that's, I think, in part why these coaches are signing these deals that protect themselves. You know, Paul Chris signed a deal that gave him a buyout that was, you know, upwards of $19 million. Greg Gard has one. He just recently signed one a couple of years ago that basically gives him a $12 million deal in liquidated damages if he gets fired within 3 years. So the coaches and their agents are being smart about it, and the market is leaning that way, that coaches are able to protect themselves a little bit better. So when you sign a five-year deal, you're not just going to get fired and get nothing from it.
Now, as the conferences realign and we have, you know, a more select group of haves in the big super conferences and have-nots elsewhere, do you see that maybe increasing the coach salary arms race for those haves in the current setup?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think and what ultimately will end up happening is there's going to be a break-off of the power schools from the non-power schools. And I don't know if that means a complete revamp of NCAA or whatever, but there's going to be the haves and the have-nots, certainly from a athletic department finances standpoint. And so then you're probably limiting the number of schools in that group to, you know, 30 to 50 or whatever. And then if you're one of the bottom 10 of that 30 to 50, you can no longer, you know, the pool has gone down and you're comparing yourselves to even more elite programs. So yes, I guess the short answer is yes, it's only going to get worse. I don't know how this corrects itself. I really don't.
In our last minute, I want to ask, is anybody pushing back on that, saying, hey, you know, when we're having eight-figure salaries for somebody who's, you know, bringing the team to, what, a dozen-ish games a year, should we start to try to change things? Is there any argument in the schools that matter?
I don't know that's coming from athletic departments necessarily. I wonder if at some point fans are going to be turned off by this. I already hear from some that are turned off by this. I just, they see all the money in sports, and it just, it sours them on fandom and the experience. So ultimately, fans can make a difference. If they don't buy tickets, if, you know, if they don't watch anymore, the revenue decreases, and that may force athletic departments' hands. But I don't know that anybody in athletic departments are pushing the stop button anytime soon for fear of getting left behind when everybody else is doing it, right? It's kind of like all these other schools are playing one way. You either keep up with the Joneses or you just aren't one of the Joneses any longer.
Jim, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Jim Polzine, sports columnist at the Wisconsin State Journal. Talked to him today about the high costs of hiring and in some cases firing college football head coaches. Right now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Keely Boltina is with me. You count on WPR for in-depth conversations. It's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a huge difference both this year and as we head into 2024 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We break down this massive effort into individual hourly goals. So right now, when 15 people join in, we're on track to support the quality and the variety that you enjoy every day from WPR.
WPR is listener powered. That means your gift right now makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The concept of the amount that colleges pay athletic directors and coaches, I mean, this is a really hot button topic and people can get pretty worked up about it. WPR doesn't shy away from those tough conversations, Rob.
Definitely. And, you know, I was thinking as I talked there to Jim, I couldn't be a college football head coach. I don't know the game well enough. Pretty well, but not as a coach. I could be a great ex-coach.
Ex-coach.
Like if somebody wants to hire me for, you know, millions of dollars to be a former coach, I'm right there. I could handle that job.
This is really great information, Rob.
Yeah.
I appreciate
and then
you sharing.
I'd definitely give some of that money.
Where?
To Wisconsin Public Radio. Great. The circle of life. if you count on WPR for fun conversations, entertaining conversations, and digging below the surface of the headlines that you see, the news headlines, the sports headlines, and more, know that WPR is listener supported, whether you're a well-paid former coach or not. It means that your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all these topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
If nothing, this conversation with Rob Ferret should remind you that WPR is a place you turn for entertainment, right? Yeah. It's also, right. It's also, though, a place for essential news, important topics, great music. You can support those things and receive access to Wisconsin State Parks. If you're already giving the money to WPR anyway, why not get a bonus thank you gift? Ask for a 2024 admission sticker when you give $25 a month or more. That's access to more than 60 parks and recreation areas, all while supporting the public media service you and frankly your neighbors rely on. So ask for yours now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio wakes me up every morning. Mostly I just enjoy the morning programming and the afternoon programming. I became a sustaining member because I felt so guilty with all the pledge drives. Because they're so logical and they're so persistent. It's crucial that we have people support it so we don't lose it. I'm Sarah from Wausau. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can do that online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's the year-end member drive. Keely Boltina is with me here on Central Time. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for WPR. That's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does have a big impact.
Yeah, it generates these programs for you, but also for everyone in your community. Listeners make the programs here at Wisconsin Public Radio worthwhile. It's members that make the programs possible.
You get all these great shows because members, people like you who donate, have kicked in the largest amount of funding for WPR programs over the years and helped Wisconsin Public Radio change with the times all along the way. You can join that amazing tradition with your gift of $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Everyone should make the gift that works for them. For you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for your cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, we have a goal of 15 gifts. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't yet, join in now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. These goals are important. They keep us on track so that we can make enough money to provide you these incredible services. You make WPR possible when you give.
Ask for your 2024 Wisconsin State Park admission sticker when you give $25 a month or more. Support one treasured Wisconsin resource, Wisconsin Public Radio, and get access to another, our amazing state park system. Ask for yours now, a great way to do two fantastic things at once. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. We heard from Cliff in Monona. Cliff says, I need a sane and reliable source of information, and I enjoy the programming. Cliff, thank you so much for the kind words and, of course, for stepping up to support Wisconsin Public Radio.
And for your honesty, Cliff. Yeah. I appreciate the fact that you're a straight shooter here when it comes to why you support WPR. WPR is your source for important information and news, what's happening in the culture, what's happening in business. This is a place where we have great conversations that matter to your life. So now is the time to support it. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations, for news, for entertainment. We count on you to help pay for it all. Make your very important gift right now online at WPR.org. Takes just a few minutes. Or call 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your support.